Blog Talk Radio.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11. Detour is a ministry created as a safe house for men and women to come together without judgment to share their detour in life. Have you ever framed your world only to find out life, roadblocks, settling, being stuck, and suddenly a detour appears? What does your detour look like? This ministry is designed for us as kingdom ambassadors to come together in unity on one accord, to live on purpose through the gospel of Jesus Christ. With God, everything has purpose, even the detours. For more information about the Detour Radio Show, contact Rosalind Farrell at 972-292-8544 or email whatisyourdetour@gmail.com.
Good evening, everyone. This is Rosalind Farrell, and I will be your host tonight on the Detour Radio Show. I am so excited about our guest speakers that we have on tonight as we discuss pastoring through the pandemic. But before we get started, I would like for Pastor Latika to lead us in prayer. I will introduce our speakers, and then we'll get started with our evening.
I'm just grateful for this evening, Lord. I pray right now, Father God, for this topic with pastoring during the pandemic, Father God, that it is so necessary for a time right now, God. I pray in the name of Jesus over every pastor, Father God, God, that you will allow them to share, Father, your heart through what they've experienced for your people. Some people need to hear it to understand the weight of what it was that they had to endure and still enduring. Father, I pray right now, God, that your Holy Spirit will have his way. I thank you for the blood of Jesus over every pastor that's represented, over Roslyn and over this ministry. Father, I thank you right now, Father, for your will being done on tonight. Father, and I pray that you will bring relief to your body, Father God, and give us understanding that as your pastors are obedient to give us what it is that you have spoke to them. We give you honor and glory right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Latika. Before we get started, just a few logistics. If you are not a guest speaker, will you please mute your lines at this time? If you are not a guest speaker, please mute your line. We do hear conversations going on in the background, so please mute your line. Thank you. All right. Thank you again, Pastor Latika, for leading us in prayer. So we'll go ahead and get started. So on tonight, we have Dr. Debbie Armstrong. She is the pastor of Divine Delivered Life Center in Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Armstrong is the overseer of five churches, which includes World Changing Word of Faith in Granite City, Illinois, House of Faith in Louisville, Kentucky, River of Living Water from Akron, Ohio, Hope for Tomorrow in Decatur, Georgia, and Apostolic Outreach Assemblies of Jesus Christ in Liberia. And she also has four outreach ministries, Mission of Love in Las Vegas, CENT Outreach Ministries in Las Vegas, By Faith Ministries in St. Louis, Missouri, Rua Prayer Outreach Ministries in College Park, Georgia. Dr. Armstrong is also the founder of Bearing Oar Ministries Fellowship International. Do we have Dr. Armstrong on the line tonight?
Greetings. Yes, I'm on the line.
Lord, thank you so much. All right, next I'd like to introduce Pastor Lindell Mike Dumas, Jr., who is the pastor of World Changing Word of Faith Deliverance Ministry in Granite City, Illinois. Pastor Mike has a passion to teach God's holy word with simplicity and truth. God gave him an anointed vision of the journey of Jesus to the cross. The vision not only changed his life forever, but also is his testimony of a true and living God and the love of God towards his children. He is a devoted husband of Linda Dumas and father of 4 children and grandfather of 9 grandchildren. He is a spiritual father to many sons and daughters. Do we have Pastor Mike on the line?
Yes, good evening.
Thank you very much, Pastor Mike. Next, I would like to introduce our next speaker, which is Dr. Eric A. Johnson, who became the pastor of Greater Galilee Church in Louisville, Kentucky in 1995. Under Dr. Johnson's leadership, Galilee has grown to the top 25 in Commonwealth of Kentucky in baptisms and in December of 2009. Dr. Johnson and the Greater Galilee Church planted a second site at Liberty High School. He has served as the late night preacher of NBC USA Incorporated. Dr. Johnson received a Bachelor of Arts degree in Sociology from the University of North Texas in 1990, a Master of Divinity in 1995, and a Doctorate of Philosophy degree from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in 2005. Dr. Johnson is the only African American in the state of Kentucky that has a PhD in theology. He has written articles for both the African American Pulpit and African American Lectionary. He has contributed to several academic and church-related written projects, including Oxford Sermons, Volume 3. He is the author of Where Are Men of the House? Discipline That Makes a Difference, in Fresh Oil, A Word from Dry and Difficult Days, Devotions for Dry and Difficult Days. Dr. Johnson is a member of Alpha Phi Alpha fraternity. Dr. Johnson is a native of Texas and married to the former Jan L. Wyatt, and they have 3 children. Dr. Johnson, do we have you on the line tonight?
Good evening, Kingdom Ambassadors. I hope everybody is well.
Good evening, Dr. Johnson. All right, and next we have Pastor Apostle Dr. Matthew Ware. He is originally from Mount, Illinois, where he attended Meridian High School. He moved to Edwardsville, where he attended Southern Illinois University, receiving his bachelor's degree in employment relations and a master's in sociology. He received his doctorate in Christian philosophy from Anchor Theological Seminary and Bible Institute. Matthew has been married to Anita for 25 years and has 4 children, 4 grandchildren, and 1 great-grandchild. Dr. Ware is the Dean Director of the Granite City Extension of Anchor Theological Seminary and Bible Institute. He also serves as Director of Warehouse Ministry. He currently serves as Pastor of Love Fellowship Outreach Ministries in Granite City, Illinois. Through this powerful ministry, they are tearing down walls and building bridges. In addition to pastoring, Dr. Ware is currently the overseer of 7 additional churches located in the Metro East St. Louis area and Mississippi. He is an advocate for maximizing the minimum. His expertise in church building comes from his master's thesis, which was entitled The Declining Significance of African American Church as a Social Institution. He also completed his dissertation researching the topic, Church Folks Are Lost in Pursuit of the Kingdom. Pastor Ware often states that he loves God and loves the people of God. It is his heart for people that continues to motivate him to keep pressing towards the mark. Do we have Pastor Ware on the line?
Yes, ma'am, and good evening to everyone.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. All right, well, let's get started because I'm excited about this topic of pastoring through the pandemic. So we would just go in the order that I just introduced all of our guest speakers. So we will start with ladies first, which is Dr. Armstrong with the first question. And my first question to you is, what strategies and or solutions have you navigated through during this time? It can be being innovative with being technology sound, or being of service outside the four walls of the church, et cetera, however you want to explain it.
Well, all right, praise the Lord. This in passing through a pandemic was quite different. It was something that none of us have experienced before. We never stopped having worship service. We had to change the way that we were having worship service, but we never stopped. God had warned us and told us that this pandemic was coming in 2019, and that he calls us to prepare ourselves. We was ahead of the game with the Lysol, ahead of the game with the mask, the N95 mask. We got prepared in 2019. However, he spoke that to us in 2019 at our New Year's Eve service, but it didn't happen in 2019. It showed up in 2020, of March 2020, and that is the reason why they call it COVID-19, because it started in COVID-19, as the Lord said. And so the government made the announcement, and the mayor made the announcement that the church could only have 10 people at one time in the church service. And so, again, at that point, I'm seeking the Lord because, what do we do? You know, how do we have just 10 people in church? And you got, hundreds of members. And so the Lord spoke again in the beginning of 2020, and he said to bring my people together, and I would drive out premature death, sickness, lack, disease, and poverty. And when you look at those five things, it really describes COVID-19. And he said he would drive them out. So I'm saying, how do I do this, Lord? He said, I told you, bring my people together. And so I got together with the elders of the church, and I was like, we're going to have to come together because the Bible tells us to take up another saint and to bring my people together. And so what I did, I had my musician and myself and got groups of eight, and I would let them come in. They would come in on one side and pray, and when they came over on the other side, I would give them a word from the Lord, and we would do a worship song, and then send me in the next room. But what I did not know, that over 100 and some people would come out on that first Sunday that they had told us not to have church service. So I was obeying the laws of the land by not having more than 10 people, but it was overwhelming because a lot of people came out. And so I had all these eight groups coming in, worship, word. And when I finished, I was so tired. I went home and I said, Lord, you could not be telling me to do this every Sunday. He said, bring my people outside. So I brought the people outside the next Sunday, and we filled up that parking lot. The parking lot was filled with people. People were coming from everywhere because no one was having service. They just kind of shut down, but God said to do it, and we did it. God kept us. We were out there for 2 years straight. The weather was permitted for us being out there. If it was too hot, God would send the wind. If it was too cold, God would send the sun. He said, everything you did inside that building, do it out on this lot. And so we called it the divine lot. And so it was a divine lot because people got saved, people got healed, people got delivered, people got set free outside of the walls. We ended up baptizing outside on that divine lot. Everything. We had a holy convocation on the divine lot. Everything that we did in that building, we did it outside. We had set worship, which was a time of first Monday of the month, and we would come out and we would have worship outside. Everything happened in that parking lot. And our church grew in the parking lot because people were looking for a place to come to worship. And so, listen, when we obey God, he's going to do whatever he said he's going to do. We heard it at the beginning of this taping that, the plans he has for us is to prosper us. And that's exactly what he did. He prospered us in this pandemic because we chose to obey him. Listen, it was extremely hard for me to even give God the glory of no one in our fellowship from Ohio to Louisville, none of the states, nobody, we lost no one except one person, and that was towards the end of 2021. But God kept us out there because he chose to just do what he said to do. I got a lot of criticism from my co-laborers, you shouldn't be doing it, but God said to do it. And when God said to do it, we did it. And we did it, and on Easter Sunday in 2020, the news media came out. They said they could not find another church open in a 100-mile radius. They put us on the news all around the world. So, listen, we had to change the way we did worship service, but we never stopped having worship service, and God kept us. He kept the whole fellowship, every church up under banner of ministry, every ministry up under banner of ministry. Yes, it was extremely hard because, you know, we had a lot of people on a prayer list. This person got COVID. This person, it was happening. But we kept praying. We were praying. This pandemic brought up, caused us to increase in our faith. This pandemic caused us to trust God like never before because it was so uncertain. You know, we were living in a time where they were saying, put on your mask, take off the mask, do this, do that, do that. It was back and forth. Nobody knew what to do. So we had to listen and obey the voice of God, and that's what we did. Yes, it was quite different, very different. But I thank God, you know, because he's never left us. He never leave us. I thank God for what he did in this pandemic. He kept us. You know, saying he kept the conditions. Like I said, he kept the weather outside. He kept us. And we grew in that pandemic. We grew. The church grew. Yeah, some good and bad. You know, it's just good and bad. It was good and bad. But the best part about it is when God has a plan, it's going to be fulfilled. So, I have no complaints except it caused the pastors and the members to grow up. We had to grow up in this pandemic. Because we had no other way. We knew no other way but church as usual. But he shifted and he shook the church. And I feel like he's kicked the church outside of the church. He kicked us outside. He kicked us out because there was too much going on that he was not pleased with. And so I believe he kicked us outside and, look, evicted us. And y'all lined up. And then when we came back in that church, we got a whole new church now. It's just a whole other church now.
Amen.
Want to be clean, want to feel like he's clean with our obedience.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. Glory to God. Thank you for sharing that, Pastor Debbie. Pastor Mike.
Yes, I've been enjoying what I've been hearing so far. You know, this has been, like you said, a trying time for everyone. And in the area that we're in, there's churches that still aren't open. Praise the Lord. But God was able to maneuver us through this pandemic. Of course, we had to obey the laws of the land first. We were at the 10 people radius set up at one time where we could only have 10 people in. But we were fortunate enough to use the Facebook outlet to be able to have the services broadcast to all the people that were out there. And it's amazing because we heard from people that we hadn't seen in church for a while. And isn't it amazing that when God take you out of the church, people that you haven't seen or haven't come to church are complaining because they can't come to church? it was truly something because people that they wanted to come then when they could not come. But during the time that the churches was open and all was well, you know, we had people that took it for granted that, you know, we had our church services. And let me tell you, there were people who wanted to be there but could not be there when the numbers were down. But we wanted to make sure that we could broadcast the services to them. So when we only can have 10, we had the musicians and the praise and worship team in there because, unfortunately, we did not have a parking lot that we could minister out of. We couldn't do it outdoors because our building takes up just about the whole lot, and there's no parking except on the street around where we're at. So we had to do what we had to do inside. And when the numbers went up, we had more people come in. But there were some people still a little leery about coming in. And we had the mask mandate from the first time we opened the doors for anybody to come in. We made sure that they wore their mask and only took them off when they had to sing or do something for the ministry inside that they should not be able to wear them. And, you know, I had people saying that they had pre-existing conditions and they could not come. And I understand how their doctors are telling them not to come into crowds and this, that, and the other. But there's a lot of people that, you know, they were a little leery about it that did not have those existing conditions. And one of the things I told them, I said, well, you know what, I'm not going to go up to Walmart with my mask on and not come to church. I'm not going to go to the grocery stores with my mask on and not come to church. I said, if I can go to the places that I have to go to with the mask on, I'm surely going to come into the house of the Lord and wear my mask, and I know he'll keep me safe in there. Yes, and that's been the way that we've looked at it. And the numbers started picking up, and the numbers started growing, and people are starting to come because, like Apostle Debbie said, other churches were shut down. We even had people that testified that people from other churches were sending them to our church because they liked what went on at our church. And one of the people that they sent said that they had came week after week after week, and after they did not see the person that sent them there, they called them and said, when are you coming to church? And they said, oh, that's not my church. But they sent them to our church because they felt the blessing of the Lord was there, and the people that were coming in and out always appeared to have the anointing of the Lord on them and a smile on their face and enjoying the services that went forth. So we actually started growing in numbers, and people started sending people there. And like Apostle Debbie said, we've had people that had contracted the COVID virus, and when we would get two or three of them that contracted it, we would cut the numbers back or we would shut down for a little while and come back. But we made sure that everybody was kept safe. You know, we had to put all the hand sanitizers throughout the building, all over the place. We had masks available for people when they came in if they didn't have them. And we just did everything according to the way the Lord was leading us to go forth. And we thank God that, like she said, not one person was lost there. You know, we had a pastor that was in the hospital for a while who they wanted to put on the ventilator, but he told them no, that the Lord was going to heal him, and he did. And he came on up out of there. And so he was one of the ones that had it the worst, but he overcame that also. And he's been back, and he's never missed a beat ever since then. So, yeah, and I've had to enhance some things in the sanctuary. I bought a few cameras to enhance the viewing of the people that could not be there, that wanted to be there. So we're making it viewer-friendly, but also we're not stopping what we're doing there. And we want to not only do that, but we want to go out into the public and do at least two outdoor services. And one of them was the Lord had impressed on my heart to go back into Ferguson, Missouri, where we had gone before, and put an outdoor service there. And there's other areas that I'm looking at also to do the same thing. So that's kind of how we're moving forward now, and we're growing. We're thanking God that he's keeping us and watching over us. And it's truly been a blessing, even during this pandemic time. All right.
Bless the Lord. Thank you for sharing that. Yes, but definitely enjoying hearing how, you know, things have changed and it's not church as usual. So I bless the Lord for keeping, you know, all of your members. So bless the Lord. All right. So, Dr. Johnson, let's hear from you, your perspective. Dr. Johnson, are you still with us?
Yeah, I apologize. I'm having a real hard time hearing you. There's storms where I am, so if you could repeat the emphasis, I'll just address that, and then I'll jump off and let others speak.
Okay. So my first question was, what strategies and or solutions have you navigated through during this time where there's been innovative technology found, being outside of service of the four walls of the church?
Okay. Again, good evening to you, Ms. Farrell. Thank you for allowing me to share. Good evening to the other Kingdom ambassadors on the line. Real simply, we just sat down and did some serious thinking and logistical work, and what we decided to do was to pivot, and we began to serve the community because of the isolation and insulation of what COVID had caused in our community, and the fact that people in our community are presently oppressed and disenfranchised in a lot of different ways. We looked at numbers as to what our people needed in the community, and that's what we did. We weren't so concerned about worship in terms of worship, but worship in terms of diakonos, in terms of service. And so we worked out a partnership with some food people here and we served every day, made sure everybody in our community had what they needed from 10 to 6 or 10 to 7 every day. And then, of course, we had online Bible study and online worship when we couldn't get into the building. And those are the two things that I can say really made a tremendous impact and impression for the glory of God in our community, in our ministry. So we understood the need for people to eat. We understood the people to have resources to do what they needed to do. And that's kind of one thing COVID did for a lot of ministries that I'm familiar with, is it really focused and centered them on the aspect of serving. So yes. that's my response.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson. I appreciate that. All right, Pastor Ware.
Amen. Can you hear me okay? I have a headset on,
yes.
So I'm making sure you can hear me. Okay. We're very similar at the beginning what Apostle Debbie said, and God bless you, Apostle Debbie, and Pastor Dumas and Pastor Johnson. God bless you all. I'm glad to be sharing this platform with you, and, of course, you, Sister Rosalind. God bless you all. At the very beginning, God had spoke to me in 2019 and said, hard reset, hard reset. That's what he kept saying, hard reset. And I was going to a lot of churches and telling people to prepare because something was going to come and it was going to impact us. And like Pastor Johnson said, what I did is looked at this whole idea of what was God meaning by hard reset. And so I found out that what he was trying to do is get the church in a place of repentance and get the church back on focus doing what the church was supposed to do according to the Great Commission. So what we really started doing is, like Pastor Johnson said, we started looking at the whole idea of what is ministry, what was God's purpose for putting the church here. And so we started focusing, the same word he just said, we started focusing on diakonos, this whole idea that we're here to serve. And so we weren't concerned at that point about having service, quote unquote, in the building, but we just started saying we're going to have service wherever we are. And on our board outside, we put on there, be the church wherever you are. So we have had a food pantry. We started delivering food to people in their homes that needed food. We started delivering resources. And because ministry is meeting the total need of man, because I felt like as the church, we had the worship and the praise element down, but we had missed so many of those things, the broken people, the hurting people. And we have met so many people in these last 2 years just by going in and carrying a bag of food or carrying clothes or blessing people during the holidays or going down to Mayfield, Kentucky when they had the tornado, driving a box truck full of food, all of those things that kind of remind people that the church is still an organism that's alive and well and reaching out to the community. So that's what we have spent a lot of time doing. We just went back into our building for worship this past Sunday because myself, I was very sick with COVID. My mother, my mother-in-law, a lot of people were just impacted by it with some long-term things going on with it. But through all of that, we were still able to mobilize resources to the community. There were people who knew we had the pantry here that would literally sometimes 9, 10 o'clock at night say, I found out you all had a pantry. And so we had food that we were able to give the people. Another thing I wanted to mention, we had to focus a lot on the mental health of people because even mm-hmm. though we didn't lose people, the people were losing, the members were losing family members. They were losing friends. They were losing coworkers. So during these last 2 years, it's been difficult for people mentally trying to deal with the whole idea that my cousin was here last week and now they're gone or this. And so there was a whole different mental battle that was going on with the people. So we started in our Zoom Bible studies and in our Zoom services, we started really literally focusing on topics that deal with mental health and deal with coping with the things that people really don't talk about with the pandemic. So that's some of what we diversified and did during this time. I think that God was doing an inside job on the church, but he was also re-strategizing and remobilizing the church to really be the church instead of just having church. We're called to be the church.
Yes. Great discussion. So the one thing that in totality from hearing from all four of you is you were obedient to what God was telling you to do, right? Each one of your comments are her service for God's people. So I just bless the Lord for your obedience and, you know, the mental health, being of service to the people outside of the church. Everything that God told you to do, you put that in place and you've been being of service to God's people. So in totality, that one thing stayed in common. Those two things stayed common with all of your comments. So I bless the Lord for that. So we're going to move on to the next question. And the next one is Dr. Armstrong, explain if the pandemic hindered or strengthened the Great Commission of Matthew 28:16-20.
I think it was both. When I say both, I'm saying because in Matthew 28, it tells us, you know, go ye into therefore for all the nation, preaching, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So we were able, I feel, to reach the people, you know, virtually. We were able to reach the people that, like one of the pastors said, that hadn't been coming to church, Pastor Mike, you know, hadn't been coming to church. When you could have came, you didn't come. And so we were able to reach all these people when we went virtual, and I believe that was part of the Great Commission. But the second part of the Great Commission, we couldn't baptize them online. We couldn't, you know, we couldn't baptize them virtually, you know, so we wouldn't complete the Great Commission. And I always felt, and I said it to the congregation over and over again, and to the fellowship, God's word is not going to return back unto him void. The Great Commission will not die. You know, God's word is going to be able to, he's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. And because he said that we were going to do this, I knew that eventually God was going to open it back up. And as Pastor Johnson said, and some of the other ones said, we had to just obey God, come together, pray, and see what the Lord wanted us to do. We just couldn't get comfortable in this pandemic by just being online. You know, God, like I said earlier, God kept us for 2 years straight. He kept that weather. When we got up in 2022, then things began to change. Yes, when we were able to come back into the sanctuary, because on Sunday morning, it would be 29. On Saturday, it would be 79, but on Sunday, it would be 29. And I'm like, God, what are you saying? So, yeah, I knew he was saying at that point to come back into the church. But when we came back into the church again, the Great Commission has to be fulfilled. We have to go to all the nations preaching that gospel and baptizing them. And so I believe, again, he allowed it to happen. And because he allowed it to happen, part of the Great Commission was fulfilled, but then the main part of it was not. And so I just feel like we just had to do what God said to do. And as Pastor Ware said, we had people with mental illness. We had people that just, you know, we couldn't hug. We couldn't fellowship. You know, I have a mom that's 83 and dad is 85. You know, we couldn't see them. I mean, so there's a lot of things that happened that even with my dad, as far as the Great Commission, he didn't know. He's 85. He don't know how to get online and watch virtual. And as I told his pastor, I said, you know, he's your only deacon left. You know, you're right down the street. Come and set him up. You know, so, it wasn't really fulfilled to the schoolness, if I can just say that. You know, I just feel like half of it was real. We were able to reach more people and get in touch with more people and preaching the gospel all around the world and all the nations.
Yes.
But far as the baptism part, it didn't happen. And so I think it was more so not because God didn't fulfill.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Pastor Debbie. Pastor Mike.
Yes, I'm back online. I just want to say hello to everyone. That time is difficult. It was difficult, and I thank God for leading us into areas before this hit, because one of the areas that we were able to go into was a nursing home. And when we went into the nursing home, I would always deliver a message to them, And so many people in the nursing home started accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. And there was one gentleman there that I talked to that said, no, I'm not ready to accept him yet. And I said, well, okay, when I come back next week, I'm going to ask you the same thing. And I prayed to the Lord to give him time to be able to accept him as his Lord and Savior. And he was. And the next Sunday I came in, he said, okay, I'm ready. Not Sunday, Saturday, I'm sorry. So he was able to accept it. And I heard that many of them had passed on in that nursing home. I'm not sure who it was or where they, you know, where they were with the Lord. But I talked to each and every one of them there. And I asked them how, you know, if they had accepted him or not. And many said that they had, but those that did not, I really focused on them. And many of them accepted, you know, him as their Lord and Savior. So, you know, we were going out, we were fulfilling the Great Commission, trying to reach those, especially in the nursing home. I mean, people don't, you know, they feel like they're lost there. Nobody cares about them. Nobody shows them. And many of them wanted to come to the church. They was hoping and praying that one day they would be able to come to the church and have service with us there. And unfortunately, we didn't get to that part of the fulfilling the Great Commission. But there, you know, just reaching those lost souls and allowing them to hear the message. And we have no idea how many of them have watched the services through, the media part of the going out. Because I know we have people in other other states that watch, and other people that have given comments from other states that's watching online, because we also do a Bible study also and trying to reach them and speak to them about it and giving them the opportunity to accept, you know, Jesus as the Lord and Savior, and giving them the just telling them, listen, go to a church somewhere near you that's preaching the Word of God that can help you to understand and learn it, you know, so that you can live it to the best of your ability. So we were trying to reach them any way we could. We did, you know, get more people coming back in. We did start to have christenings again. We also are able to baptize people if they want to again. So we are doing any and everything that we can to try and reach them and get them the information that they need to make sure that they get into the kingdom of God. So because it is, you know, during this time, people realize even more so how important knowing God is, because, you know, this makes people really think on their life and their life situation because of what's going on around them. And like many of you have said, you know, they lost loved ones to this. They've lost friends to this. So they realize that, you know, we just don't know when this can hit my family. We just don't know when this can come close to me. So we all want to be prepared, you know, so that we all know without a doubt that we're okay with God. And that's the main thing, that we're okay with him, and that we can have that assurance that I'm okay.
Amen.
In spite of what's going on around me, in spite of what's happening in this world, because I reminded them, I said, we've been through a lot of pandemics before COVID-19. Come on, we've been through a lot of situations. We've been through things like the Spanish flu. We've been, come on, they're talking about the bird flu going on. We had the swine flu happening for a while. Mad cow disease have hit. And many wars that we've entered into and come out of. So there's a lot of things going on, even with the terrorism that's going on in and around the United States. You know, there's a lot of things going on in this world. But, you know, he told us we're in it, but we're not of this world. So we have to keep our focus and our mindset on the things of God and what he wants to accomplish during this time, and ask him in prayer, you know, Lord, what is it that I should be doing now? What is it that I should be, where should I be going now? Whom should I be reaching now? And like you all, somebody said, we told them, we made it plain and simple. You are the church, you know. Wherever you are, you carry. Come on, you're carrying that precious gift of the knowledge of the kingdom of God that somebody need to hear. Somebody, come on. There's a lot of people out there right now that are hungering and thirsting for knowledge and wondering, what should I do during this time? So they're open. and make sure that, you know, we make sure we get them what they need during this time. And like some of you other ones said, we had a pantry open also where we could get food to them. We had the drive-ups, you know, and we would take food out there and put it in their trunk during the time so that they their needs could be met. So we're all about trying to meet the needs of the people and meeting them where they are, you know, wherever they happen to be. So that's kind of what we're doing. That's what we've been doing.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Pastor Johnson, we'll move on to you. Do you need me to read the question again? Or
I think I got it. We're talking about the global reach of the Great Commission, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Our ministry was blessed, and if you want me to answer in the affirmative, it did help us to become global, and we were already kind of global, but even in a greater capacity, again, because we were able to seriously do the YouTube thing, do the Facebook thing, and stream and other means of getting the gospel out and other means of getting the message out through various platforms. We have people that joined the church from California. In fact, we have a greater Galilee nation almost now, all across the country, Birmingham, Alabama, people in New York, and that I would have probably never been able to minister to or reach, but because of the pandemic, we were able to carry out the Great Commission in such a way that pretty much every church that's serious now is global in some sense. Let me see. So I'm grateful to God for that. That he kind of showed us, hey, you know, I don't want you to stay in your region, you know, be a strong church, be a strong ministry globally. And that would be my perspective.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Dr. Jones. Yeah.
Sure.
All right, Pastor Ware.
Yes, ma'am. Going back to what I said earlier, I felt like that inside job was connected to our work that we have to do as a church. So in order to be able to be impactful during the Great Commission, you have to understand the Great Commandment, which is love. And I believe that same thing as Pastor Johnson said, I saw some miraculous things happen. We were able to connect with people that are still logging in from California. We started having joint services with another pastor out of Durham, North Carolina, another pastor with a ministry in Champaign, Illinois. So all of us started coming together. And what I found out is not only was it strengthening our commission, but it was strengthening our love because all of us were probably worrying about, you know, certain things with our churches, but you know, God will connect you with people that will begin to pour into you and you pour into them and you just strengthen each other. And like Pastor Johnson said, I really do believe when you start looking at the Great Commission and they did it exactly the way that God told them to do it. You know, he said, I'm going to, in Acts 1:8, I'm going to cause you to be witnesses. But then he laid it out. He said, first, you're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, and then in Judea, then Samaria, then the other utmost part of the world. And I think this is just me, and I'm going to probably get in trouble for saying this, but I'm going to say it. I think the church, a lot of people in the church heard the commandment, heard the commission, and got stuck in Jerusalem. And what I mean by this, listen, it was 120 people in the upper room, and we preached that when the Holy Spirit empowered them and dwelled them, gave them the power to be witnesses, to do. But if we keep reading, Peter and those followers, disciples, 120 of them, they left the upper room, and they went down where they were observing the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days after. And think about this. While he was preaching what God had told them to do, Acts 1:8, began to fulfill right before their eyes. They left out of the upper room, went into Jerusalem, and as they went into Jerusalem, they began to preach, and the Bible says 3,000 souls were added. Then going up to Acts 8 through 12, they went to Judea and Samaria. Then you get to Acts 13 through chapter 28. Then they started going to other areas. And I believe that this pandemic, as strange and as whatever you want to call it, God, it has remobilized and re-strategized, as Pastor Johnson just said, others as well, that we have a great commission to do through the power of the Holy Spirit, to take this gospel to those who won't necessarily. I had a good friend, and he wasn't a churchgoer. He was a pharmacist, but he didn't work at Walgreens, if you get my drift. Okay,
yes.
Not small time, but big time. But this man, every time I got a chance, I would ride my motorcycle, go over there and talk to him. I would sit down and talk to him. He had a massive heart attack, went in the hospital. I went to see him. They said he hadn't did anything. I went and I called his name. He opened his eyes. He looked over at me. But after he got in the hospital, I started visiting. I started sending him scriptures. I started talking to him. And he would always say, they don't want me at the church. They know what I do. And I would say, yeah, they know what you do, man. But God is not concerned. And I would witness to him. And listen, I was coming from my sister's funeral and got the call that he had passed away. But you know what? I could rest assured knowing that I had took the gospel to him. You know what I'm saying? Because many
Amen.
Times we'll
yeah.
invite them and they won't come. But God had created, even during this pandemic, he created an opportunity for me to go right there in his backyard, right? So I couldn't invite him to church, but guess what I was able to do? Take the church to him, right? Right mm-hmm. to him. And when he passed away, and Sister Cookie, if I said his name, you know him. But I was able to eulogize this man's funeral. And I prayed it in the time that God left him, without the seed that he got his life right with God. But it was a great opportunity during this pandemic. And I could tell you story after story after story of how I've gotten a chance to witness to the unchurched and witness to those who have, for whatever reason, may not feel comfortable coming into the building. But I believe that for a season, God allowed us to say, hey, I told you, you know, let it start in Jerusalem, but then go into Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. And I believe if we start doing that, we're going to see some powerful things in our community. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Pastor Ware. All right, we're going to keep moving on, and then I'm going to open it up at the end for the callers. Our callers, we have quite a few callers, so I'm going to keep it moving, and then we are opening up for the callers at the end for any questions or comments. So we'll move on to the next one. Dr. Armstrong, how optimistic are you about the current state of the church and the future of the church, seeing as though churches are only about 75% of their congregations to reengage?
Well, again, I feel like the rest of the pastors that we are the church, and so therefore, I feel like it was just a shaking that took place. That this shaking that took place, it caused the church to be strengthened in their faith, just trusting God during this pandemic. You know, while we were going through the pandemic, I would meet every Saturday with the pastors, I'd plan for the next day, Sunday, and see whatever the church need, whatever you needed, we came together. I think it caused us to get stronger, either better, and I believe we're in a place with God like we had never been able to move before. You know, they told us, if we were reading, they told us that 34% of the churches would not reopen. I don't feel like that's the will of God for the churches to close and never reopen, but when you allow the saints, you stay home and watch it on TV and watch it on however we was watching it. And then when it's time to bring them back, some of them are just not going to come back. But that's fine, because I believe it's a remnant that's going to go and obey God and do exactly what God is saying. I truly believe, again, that the church was in trouble. God was not in trouble. The church was in trouble because it began to do things outside of the word of God. But God knew how to bring us back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek His face, and then you will hear from heaven and heal the land. So I believe that brought us right back to that. I truly believe, as most of them have said, that being on online, you know, we got members from different states and different cities and all that too. It grew the church, but then in some churchgoers that will probably not come back, but the believers are going to come back and forsake not that assembly of the saints together, because we're going to strengthen one another. So I truly believe that this pandemic, the enemy might have meant it for bad, but God allowed it to happen, and he brought us all back together. I believe truly that as we move forward as a congregation with what you have, and he said two or three, you know what I'm saying? If two or three gathered, say, if you move forward with what you got in agreement with the word of God, there would be no limit to what God is going to do. We've seen signs, miracle signs of wonders throughout this pandemic. We've seen God raise them up off of the ventilator. We've seen God bring them out when they said it wasn't going to come out. I mean, the nurses at one hospital would call us every Sunday. They'd put us on the loudspeaker and let us begin to pray all throughout the hospital. And people were raising up off of the ventilator. We had even one of the ones that passed from Louisville, Kentucky. You know, we connected with the nurse named Rachel. We connected her. And listen, God began to just raise people up out of the hospital. And she was like, listen, y'all need to call and pray for all the people. I said, no, you need to do it. Y'all, we feel like God is stirring your gift up. You're there with those people. You know what I'm saying? So God can use you because you are the church. You're the church.
Amen.
Amen.
Out of the walls. So we can see what God wants to do. Those that I really believe in, listen, he said we're going to go forth and we're going to do what he said. We shall lay hands on them. Here we come. You know, so I believe that, you know, 75% might not come back, but those might have been just churchgoers. But the believers are coming back, and we're going to come back with more power, and we're going to come back being obedient to the word of God. And I believe that miracles, signs, and wonders are going to happen. We're going to see a resurrection, an instant resuscitation of the church. God's going to resuscitate and bring us right back. And in fact, we're going to have more power than we had before we went under. So I believe, you know, we just need to be encouraged and know that God's hand is in this, and God is going to get the last say so. He has the last say so in all of this. So I just believe that closer together, it calls us in a different way. It calls us to, like, never trusted him before, and just to see the hand of God moving. People who never believed are believing now. It might just be 75%, but I believe they're coming, and those that are coming now are coming for the real deal. They're not coming to play church. They're not coming just because it's something. They're coming to get to know their Savior. Powered and endowed, as Pastor West said, being endowed, you know, with the power to be able to go out and witness, be able to go. That's what we need to do. And we have not been able we did it online. We did it. Because, again, like I said, we got members all over, too. We did that. We witnessed to these people. You know, I just want to be a part of what God, people walking off the street drunk out there in their parking lot, high in their parking lot. God delivered them and on the life. So, again, God is not any trouble. He knows exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, and how it's going to happen. It's just yourself. We just have to get in line and find the will of God so we can see the manifestation of the church like never before. God already said the church has the answer. The church has the answer. We said it all right out there in this pandemic. We did drive-up prayer, drive food drive. We did it all. Everything God told us to do, we did it. And there was light in Goshen. We had exactly what we needed. We supplied that community. When Walmart didn't have it, no store had these divine had it. Amazon didn't have it. When Amazon was out, Divine Deliverance had it, and we were giving it out. And so, again, I just feel like, you know, that the church is very sad. I believe God, that it truly gets the glory because it has humbled all of us. It should have. About serving his people. It brought down all titles. The pandemic brought down every title.
Amen.
Absolutely.
The church is going to be all right. God said, gates of hell cannot prevail against it. The church is not going anywhere. We just now know how to be and not just go to church.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Armstrong. We're going to move to Dr. Johnson because he has to get off, so I'm going to go ahead and let him answer this last question. And then, Dr. Johnson, if you have any books, any information, websites that you would like to share with our audience, please do so at this time, because, you know, people will come back and listen, and they might want to get in contact with you, so leave your information as well once you're finished.
Okay. Again, thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to come and share. If the question was about people coming back to the church, I wanted to share with you some of the pertinent research that's being done. We already knew that the, excuse my expression, but the white church, European church, was declining. That church has declined 60% since 1940. There is a exiting of people from the European church, Eurocentric church, and churches that are modeled in that way by vast numbers. Now, the interesting thing about the research also indicates that African Americans and predominant in those in the South, also located in the South, watch this, are coming back to church in just mind-blowing numbers. 50%, 50 to 75% of African Americans are committed and are, if not already, returning to church. The pastor, and I apologize for not getting his name right, but he had mentioned earlier about people coming to church and about what was going on. And that's no strange thing, because if you know the history of African American people in the African American church, by and large, we are church people. Everything that has ever aspired in African American life and community has resulted and rooted itself from the church. So, what you're going to see, if you have not seen it already, is that not only are you going to get maybe some of the ones, we'll say 50% of the ones you had, you're going to see a great influx of people you didn't have. Now, the question I pose to you all and the question I pose to your audience and to our church was simply this. Are you really ready to minister to the needs, not the wants and not what you think they need, but are you and I ready to minister to the needs of these people? Because 50% of people you're seeing right now in your church are addicted. They're either dealing with addiction, coming out of addiction. Many of them have generational trauma. Now, most pastors I know have not been trained in anything other than prayer and Jesus in trauma. Well, if you don't know something about trauma, have somebody or resource, you're going to be preaching to empty heads, because they're sitting there thinking about their problem, their pain. And, you can't praise all your pain out. So you're going to have to come up with meaningful methods. Because people are coming, as I said, they're coming, and they're coming for deliverance. And deliverance may not look like what we see back in the day deliverance was. Deliverance might mean sitting with this person, and my word for this, for our congregation here, is discipleship. We have to go back to biblical, not what we think it said, not what the connotation is, not what we assume. We need to go back to etymological understanding of what it means to be discipled and to walk people through like Jesus did. He walked them through some things. Jesus never attended a funeral. Yeah. Why? Because every time he showed up, it wasn't a funeral no more. Okay? But there are people who have gone through funerals that we have not spoken to. There are people, and you all know this from being pastors, tremendous need in our community. So not only financially, economically, sociologically, physiologically, psychology. I mean, man, it's just stuff out here. And what we've gone through, like I told you guys, I think I might have told Michelle, I did more funerals in the first quarter of 2020 than I have ever done in over 40 years of ministry.
Yes,
I was
sir.
Doing two
yes,
or three
sir.
A day. Two or three a day. And it took a toll on me, but it took a toll on my church.
Yes.
And I'm sure it took a toll on those families. Now, who's speaking to that? Hallelujah. Who's speaking to that? Hallelujah doesn't answer that question. My mama is in the grave. I couldn't go see my mom. I couldn't go see my daddy. I couldn't go see my sister, my brother, my child. The last time I saw them, now I see them in the casket. There needs to be some resolution work done. Okay? So
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
To close where I started, it's simply this. You and I got to make sure that we use the keys to the kingdom. And the key to the kingdom is not just prayer. It's not just fasting. All that's good. Here's the kingdom. When you read the scriptures and you read Paul and Peter, here's what you get. You get that more is done through relationships than anything else.
Yes.
And when you read Acts 4, they came together. And one of the words in Acts 4, the apostles' doctrine, and then it says, and fellowship. Fellowship means that I realize there are more fellows in the ship than just me. There are more situations in this situation than just me. And so what we've tried to do in welcoming people is to create a whole new concept, re-envisioning how loving can we really be. You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily accommodating, and I'm not saying conveniencing them, but how loving can we be? How warm can we be? Can we welcome like the lady said earlier, the drug person on drugs and the person who's drunk? Can we, after that, can my congregation handle a drunk sitting in here? You know, can our congregation handle the pusher or the guy who supplies the drugs sitting in church on Sunday?
Yes,
so,
sir.
God, if God is sending, he said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And the laborers are not few because they don't exist. The laborers are few, and many times because they've not been trained to labor.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? So one thing that I've tried to do is share with other colleagues of mine on the circuit that, hey, man, look, you got to stop trying to grow and be a certain number, man, and love the people. Love your people. And disciple your people.
Amen.
Talk about it.
Amen.
You know, this little 8-year-old that, I don't know if y'all saw, 8-year-old kid was handcuffed over getting some chips. Come on, man.
Yes, sir.
Come on, man. And so we got to speak to those social justice issues, because I guarantee you there's somebody in our congregations that's gone through that. So if you want more research, there's a wonderful several websites. It's churchleaders.com. LifewayResearch.com. Christianity Today right now is doing some series. I think it's CT, or you might have to write it out, ChristianityToday.com. There's a guy in, I want to say Philly, Eric Mason, that's doing a lot of apologetics, because one of the things we're going to have to do now is explain the faith. And you got the Israelites out here, you know what I'm saying? You got them saying that, who the Jews are and who not. And you got in our community, you got the Islamic kind of guys out here talking, selling bean pies, prostituting people. You got that going on. Jesus says, no, Christianity is white man religion. Christianity is a tool of oppression. So you got to be able to do some apologetics. So Eric Mason does a tremendous job of helping us to learn how to speak common language and defend the faith, as First Peter says. Always be ready to give an apologia. Always be ready to give a defense for why you believe what you believe. And so those are four great resources that you're sure to be able to look at, as well as what's being written now in terms of the cultural shift. And there's a book called Shift, as a matter of fact. I forget the guy's name. And he talks about that as well. So I'll pause there. That's sufficient. But, again, thank you for letting me, Ms. Renfro, come on and share. Thank you, guys. I've been blessed tonight by the conversations that I've heard. And I just apologize. I got to jump off because I got another responsibility I got to take care of.
Bless you, Pastor.
Thank you, Dr. Thompson. Mm-hmm. I'll talk
bless
to
you,
you
guys.
Soon. I'll make sure you get a copy of it. God bless you.
Thank you all so much. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff.
Bye-bye. All right. So, Pastor Mike, we'll move back to you. And we were discussing how optimistic are you about the current state of the church and the future of the church, seeing as though churches are only getting about 75% of their congregations to reengage.
I want to thank each and every one that's been on here also. I've been enjoying this immensely. One of the things that I think we all have been mindful of with the churches is that we've had to refocus our efforts. I mean, one thing God has made us all do in the church is refocus our efforts. I believe we got too comfortable with church inside the four walls. We got too comfortable being inside there and needing to get this message out, because, like we say, a lot of people aren't coming to church. You know, they're going to have to get it some other way. We've had to go out to them in other ways now that this pandemic had hit. It's allowing those that are spreading the message that God wants to have out there to expand their territory, to grow in ways that they probably didn't think that they would be growing, because they've had to adapt to what's going on. And I love what the doctor said about the European church, because the Word of God said that there would be a great falling away before the end time. And we're seeing things that God said we would see toward the end times happening every day. Every day. Yeah. I've seen so much that he said we would see in the end time happening. I thought I'd never see in my lifetime, but I'm seeing it, and I'm seeing it happen so quickly that I know how urgent it is that we get the message out there, how urgent it is that we get the commission out there to the people, because that number that John saw has to be met. Praise the Lord. So we have to do our part to do that. And one of the things that we have been doing, and even before the pandemic hit, was equipping people to understand their role in what God has for them to do. One of the things I told them is that, you know, we are the embassies in the earth that God has given to the earth. So wherever you go, you carry the kingdom of God with you. So when people, there's a reason why people come to your office when they need prayer. That's what I told them. They come to you when they need prayer because they understand that you are the one that hears from God. You are the one that carries that anointing that God gave you to help people in this earth and help them out of situations that they're in. And people are hungering and thirsting like never before now because of what's going on. It made people realize that they're not as invincible as they once thought they were. You know, that things are happening quick, and they do not know, you know, what tomorrow's going to bring. So they're more mindful now of the things of God, wanting the answers, wanting to know what it is that God has for them, what God is saying about them. And one of the things that I've really focused on even more so is that the church, you know, we can't be judgmental of people. When he was talking about people coming in off the street that are drug dealers and whatever it is that they're doing, you know, those are the ones that we're supposed to reach. Those are the ones that we're supposed to have compassion for. Those are the ones that we're supposed to love, whatever it is that's continuing to keep them bound. You know, they have to know the love of God so that he can help them out of the situations that they're in, because deliverance is going to come, but it's going to come through him and by him and by their knowledge of him and their understanding that he is the one that wants to get them to a place in him where they can get the freedom that they need and not be so worried about who's looking at them in the church. You know, the church can't be looking down their nose at anybody, praise the Lord, because Amen. Jesus died for all of us. You know, he took on all Amen. Of our sins. He did it all. So, you know, the Bible even say that we can't boast. You know, there's no boasting in us. So we have to show and the other thing that I want to bring out is that, you know, we can't look at people and judge, because people judge people by where they are. And they have no idea of somebody else's story or how they got to the way that they are or what's been going on or what is going on in their life that's keeping them the way that they are. But once we get involved with them, you know, people, there's a saying that they don't want to know how much you know until they know how much you care, you know. So when we show them that we care, truly care for them, and that we are who we say we are, you know, we're not just giving messages, we're living them. And we're breathing them and we're walking them out before them. And they realize that, you know what, you're the same person you were, that you were in the church, outside of the church, and that you're not trying to hide anything, but you're being open and honest with them. And I think they are more relatable to somebody that they know has gone through something also. You know, a lot of church people don't want to tell their story because they're afraid of people judging them or looking at them in a bad light. But, you know, once they realize that we had to overcome things also, that God is still dealing with us, making sure that we are getting as close to that perfection that he wants us to be. You know, he's the only model that we have to look to come up to. Amen. So we're
we're continuing the efforts of letting people know just how important they are in this work that we have before us. Like you said, you know, the harvest is great. It's getting greater by the COVID situation because people did hunger and thirst, and they are going through things. And they are, come on, when he told us time out, go in your house, stay in your house, you know, people had to adapt to being around one another 24/7. Mm-hmm. You know, you couldn't get away from them. You know, you're dealing with something that you never dealt with before. So there are issues out there. But, you know, the one thing about it is he's always going to be the answer. And as long as we continue to point people toward him and let them see the Christ in us, and letting them see that, you know, we have that love of God that we can share abroad, then it comes off as being true. You know, if people can come in or be around you and feel the love, then you are doing your part as far as God is concerned. You know, you're doing what he wants you to do because there's a lot of hurting people out there right now, and there's a lot of reasons for them to be hurt right now. So we just have to be mindful of that. And I believe that the kingdom will be better for it when all of this starts to grow and grow and grow, because the pandemic may not ever go anywhere for a long time. It's up to him. But as long as we're dealing with it, we're going to continue to have to show them that in spite of whether you're going through something or you going to something or you in something or you coming out of something, you're still going to need him to carry you through, no matter what state you find yourself to be in. So that's kind of what the message that we're trying to give them and letting them understand. We've been building them up all of this time. Come on, you've been going to church, you've been going to church, you've been hearing sermons, you've been hearing word. God is not giving you this just so that you can have it. You know, you're going to have to pour out at some point in some time. And just pretty recently, he had me get up, and he told me, he said, I'm going to trust you with this sermon. And you know what? We had praise and worship that day, and I had no idea how it was going to go. But we had a wonderful praise and worship. We had people kind of testifying beforehand. And the message was, he gave me two words to tell them. I gave them the scripture, Jesus wept. And he told me, he said, he's weeping today, the same reason he's been weeping back then when he raised Lazarus. Unbelievable, you know. So he told me to tell him two words, and those two words was trust God. Once I said those two words, I told him, I said, the doors of the church are open. And you best believe the Spirit of the Lord hit that place like it had not hit in a while. But people really received. I mean, the Spirit really fell on us and ministered to us, and a lot of people got healed. And deliverance came forth. And, you know, he trusted people with that, but a lot of people can't just give a sermon like that. You know, they can't. Mm-hmm. They have to add to a lot of things. But he said he trusts me with it. I said, okay, I'm going to say those two words. The doors of the church are open, and I'm telling you that service was awesome.
Okay.
Wow.
Praise God. Jesus. Bless the Lord. All right, Pastor, where we're going to end it with you with this last question, and then we'll wrap it up for tonight.
Amen. They've said, I echo what they've said, and again, to Pastor Debbie, Dr. Debbie, to Pastor Dumas, you know, I honor you all for just staying on the wall, amen. And I think about how we often say, then a light shines brighter when it's dark. And so I think it's a two-sided coin, the situation that we're in. I think God has set us up to be the church in a more powerful way than we've ever been before. That's just I believe that he's set us up now. Remember in the scripture, you know, Peter, we often talk about Peter on the day of Pentecost. He was spirit-filled. So every fruit of the Spirit was in him, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, temperance, meekness, and faith. But remember, God had to deal with him about the stuff that he had on his, I'm talking about he was spirit-filled, but God had to deal with him because God was getting ready to send Peter down to Cornelius' house.
And had God not came and visited him and talked to him about what I call clean, don't you call it unclean? If God hadn't dealt with Peter, Peter wouldn't have been ready to go down there because he was devout in what he believed. And even though he was spirit-filled, he had some struggles. And if you read in Galatians 2, he still struggled because Paul said he had to rebuke Peter openly because as long as Peter wasn't around and all of the Jews wasn't around, the circumcised, he would call them, Peter would go and sit with her. He would hang with, and that's how a lot of church folks are. We got certain folks we hide behind, behind the scene. But when Peter and them would get there, then all of a sudden he would get up from amongst the Jews and act like he didn't have nothing to do with them. So that's what I believe God has been doing with us. I believe in this hour, in this season, as Pastor Mike and Pastor Debbie has said, the harvest is plenteous. There are so many hurting people, so many broken people, so many confused people, so many people walking in fear, and we have to get this living water to them. I'm closing with this little short story. I woke up one morning, and the Holy Spirit said to me, "What's the driest place on this earth?" I said, "I don't know," and I went back to sleep. I woke up again, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit because he asked me again, "What's the driest place on this earth?" I said, "God, I don't know." He said, "Look it up." You know, thank God for Google because you can find some information in a couple of seconds. So I Googled the driest place on the earth, and it said the Atacama Desert in South America. I laid back down and go back to sleep. Holy Ghost said, I said, "Look it up. Read it. Research it." And, y'all, I began to read about the Atacama Desert. It has on one side of it, it has the Pacific Ocean. Now, get this. Driest place on earth. Next to the Pacific Ocean. On the other side is the Andes Mountains, snow-capped with snow. And so you got a water source on one side, water source on the other side, but the driest place in the earth in the middle. And the Holy Spirit began to show me. He said, "That's how it is with my church." He said, "Look at the communities that you're in. Look at the social issues that you have. Look at everything that's going on." He said, "I put my church in this earth, empowered it with the Holy Ghost so that it can deal with these situations in the community. But yet the communities, the families, a whole lot of issues that are going on are just like that dry desert, right next to water, right? In some communities you can go into and you can count the churches, one on this corner, one on this corner, one on this corner, one." So there's plenty of water, quote unquote, right? Because the Bible says we believe on him, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. But we got these water supplies. We got water wells in every church, but yet their water is not flowing out to the dry places. And so for me, I think it's an excellent opportunity to say, how can we get the water from the Pacific Ocean into the Atacama Desert? How can we get some of this snow melted off the top of these mountains and put it into this Atacama Desert? No vegetation can live there. No animals can live there, all because of the climate and the way that it's positioned. And I think God is saying now, same thing that Pastor Debbie said, "If my people, which you call by my name," that's us, "will humble themselves, pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked way, then I'll forgive sin," guess what, "and heal the land." So what needs to be done? All of these social issues, all of these issues we see going on around us, we're going to have to open up the doors and say, "Lord, let this water flow. Let it flow into our homes. Let it flow into our children. Let it flow into our schools." You know, we talk about the cultural mountains. There's people that don't even believe that the churches should be involved in the community. Come on now. We're supposed to be impacting every part of our culture. And so in order to get this water out, we're going to have to let God do how he did Peter. Let him do an inside job on us. Because before he got ready to go to Cornelius' house, God had to purify him. He had to say, "Man, you still dealing with some prejudices. You still dealing with some folks you don't like. You got hurt 20 years ago by this person, so you don't deal with these kind of folks." See, this 2-year pandemic, God has been cleaning us up so we can be ready, as Pastor Mike just said, to deal with those folks that come into church that don't look like us, smell like us, talk like us. And this whole idea of denominationalism and these walls, y'all, we got to tear them down and learn how to work together.
Yes. Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Pastor Ware, if you have any books, any websites, your church address, contact information, please go ahead and share at this time.
I guess the best way, just reach out to me via Facebook or email at drmlware@gmail.com. And whatever I can do to be a blessing and be a help to anybody, I'm willing to do so. I thank God that I heard the hard reset command in 2019, and I'm a different person today than I was 2 years ago, and I give God the praise and glory for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Lord. Bless the Lord. All right, Dr. Debbie, we're going to let you go ahead and share your contact information, website, books, or anything you want to share, how someone can get in contact with you.
Yes, you can go on our site, www.divinedeliverance.org, or you can reach us at 404-763-0898. Again, 404-763-0898. You can go on our website, Divine Deliverance.
Thank you for sharing that. All right, Pastor Mike.
Yes, I want to say again, it's so wonderful to be online with you all, and it's truly a blessing to hear your views on the Word of God and what we're going through right now, because it's been challenging, but it's been also a point of growth for each and every one of us, I believe, that God had us in. And my information is on Facebook also. I'm on Facebook. The church is on Facebook, WCWOF. If you type that in, it will bring up our church, so I can be reached either way. And we're here to help. we're here
Amen.
To
help.
Whatever capacity we can. And believe me, I am available to be with other churches also, to speak on behalf of us all as according to what the Lord has given us to do and say in this time. Because, like you said, there's a lot of people hurting. We need to reach.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just want to personally thank each and every one of you, Dr. Debbie, Pastor Mike, Dr. Johnson, Pastor Ware. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing this platform with me. I have truly been blessed. I just thank God for you just sharing the love of God. I mean, in totality, I heard, you know, it's a culture shift, so in order to shift, we have to move, right? And you all have taken those steps and been obedient to what God has truly told you to do. So I just pray that God just continues to bless your ministry. I thank God for each and every one of you in my life. Even when I had COVID, I know that I had some praying warriors behind me because I am a walking miracle. And I tell people that every day, and I will continue to tell people that because I am a walking miracle. So I just bless God for each and every one of you. I'm going to open up the lines because we, like I said, we do have a lot of callers on. If they have any questions or comments, you may do so at this time. Anyone with any questions or comments for our special guest tonight? All right. Well, thank you again. This is the Detour Radio Show. I am Rosalyn For Real, the host. If anyone aspires to host their own radio show, please get in contact with me at 972-292-8544 or email me at whatisyourdetour@gmail.com. God bless you. God keep you. I will send out a copy of the podcast tonight to everyone that inspires a habit that you can share with your own ministries. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you.
God bless you. Good night.
God bless you. Prayer. Pastor Mike. God bless
you.
God
bless you all.
Love you all.
Yes, this was good. Love you too, Dad.
All right.
Love you, Pastor Mike.
Good night.
God bless you.
All right. God bless.